Super Talk 94.1 FM and AM 930 present Viewpoint with Gene Dean. To join our conversation, call 304-399-8255 or toll free at 877-420-8255. Broadcasting from the Super Talk 94.1 FM and AM 930 studio in downtown Huntington, here's Gene Dean.
Well, good morning. This is Fred Kitchen along with Gene Dean, and this is actually planning for tomorrow. And, gosh, Gene, we're going to have some snow today. What do you think about that?
I think we better plan for tomorrow.
I think we better plan for today or plan for the moment. We should have been planning for tomorrow yesterday, shouldn't we? Hopefully the city has.
It's going to be better tomorrow. And, yes, I did ask the mayor the other day if he was prepared if we had a huge snowfall. He assures me that he's ready.
Absolutely. That's great. That's great. You know, I want to kind of mention a couple things before we get started on the show, because the show we're going to take just a little bit different direction today. But I want to talk just a little bit about the website, pftradio.com. That website is being used by a lot of people, and I want to make sure that our listeners always hear about that. There's a lot of good information on there. Our guest today will have a lot of his information, so you can learn more about him after the show be on there. Gene, since July of last year, almost 24,000 visitors to that website. That's incredible.
That's great.
So,
a good website.
Yeah, there's a lot of great information on there. And we're going to continue to, the Planning for Tomorrow radio show will continue to grow this year. We're probably going to open up some other subject matter about planning on the show. So I think that'll be great also, not just be end of life, but maybe talk about some financial planning, and because that all ties in together with what we have to do to be ready.
Absolutely. What you do today is going to make a difference in planning for tomorrow. So
absolutely. And I also want to make mention that, and I'll make mention of this a couple times today, the Resource Center at Henson Mortuary, the funeral home which I own, we still have, which is part of our ongoing resources that we make available, the Five Wishes document.
And very good document.
It is a very good document, and we've given out literally, I think, over 1,000 of these. And we'll notarize those for you. People are filling those out and bringing them back in and taking these to their doctors. It's a medical power of attorney, a living will, and some other personal wishes that they have.
It's sort of question and answer format, which makes it easy to fill out.
It does. It makes it real easy to fill out. So there's that document. There's also Sherry Williams White, that was our guest on the show back around the holidays. You know, her books are available there, and we are in editing right now, final editing on the DVD that Sherry Williams actually, the presentation that she did at Christmas time for grief, and people were having some difficulties and things like that. So we're in final editing on that, and we'll have that DVD made available here in probably upcoming weeks.
Good.
So excited about that.
We'll let listeners know about that.
Absolutely. Gene, we are kind of going a little bit different direction today on our show than what we typically do. But, you know, sometime back last year, I think it was last year, 2012, we had a guest on our show, and there was a mutual friend of ours that kind of tied us together, and didn't even realize we had this kind of hometown connection here that we had at the time. But a friend of ours in Los Angeles, California, actually introduced me to another fella, and we've got him in the studio with us today, and his name is Jamie Tony. Jamie, good to have you with us.
It's great to be here, guys.
Last time we just heard your voice on the telephone, but today you're here in the studio, and it's good to actually meet the voice.
it's been a long time coming, and I'm glad to be here this morning. And you know, it was nice to actually talk to you guys on the radio. It's so funny I could call in from L.A. to talk on a Huntington radio.
I know. But Jamie, I want to tell our listeners just a little bit, about who you are and the connection here to West Virginia, to Huntington, to Wayne County, or to Wayne. Tell us a little bit about where you come from.
I was raised up on 8th Street out in Lavalette area. I went to Lavalette Elementary. After that, I went to Wayne High School and played just about every sport you could play going through high school. Graduated, ended up going to the vocational school out here on the Hill, Cabell County Career Technical School.
Oh, yeah.
And then got accepted into the IBEW, the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, and finished the apprenticeship and worked a few more years before I left here to, you know, go on with my MMA career.
Yeah, and I want to take a few minutes here and tell you what you just mentioned there. Tell everybody what the MMA, you know, we went from being an electrician or being in the electrical.
Yeah, you lost me in the middle there, Jamie.
To MMA, which MMA is mixed martial arts, correct?
Yes.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about that connection there. And how do you go from trade school, electrical, to mixed martial arts. I mean, it's awesome, but it's interesting.
You know, it's a weird connection. I kind of started both around the same time.
Okay.
And I kept doing them as I was going through the apprenticeship. I was going the nights I didn't have school. I was going to the gym, and I just loved it. It started with jiu-jitsu, and then it kind of progressed. And I was working in my first fight. I was working at Ashton Oil during a shutdown or a turnaround. I think it was 2002, 2003, and I got called on 2 weeks' notice to take my first fight. Went in there and knocked my opponent out in the third round, and I was like, I'm in love. Let's keep doing this. So that's kind of where it is today. You know, I just kept going, and then, you know, get out of the apprenticeship, spend a few more years here trying to put some money away so I can afford to, you know, kind of leave and go where I need to go to be seen. And I go to Ohio. I'm there for 3 years, and then I'm like, well, I think I need to go out west. So I head to L.A., and that's where I'm at today.
What does mixed martial arts cover? I mean, what different? Obviously, boxing. Am I right?
Yeah, yeah. It's a mixture of a couple main. Well, not a couple, but a bunch of martial arts. You know, you got boxing, you got wrestling, jiu-jitsu, mm-hmm. Thai boxing, judo. I mean, all those are pretty much your main, martial arts. And then you can add some other stuff in there that kind of works. But uh-huh. those are your main ones you want to, you know, pull your arts from.
Okay, so last weekend, Fred, we had this big annual high school wrestling tournament here mm-hmm. at the Civic Arena. So that's the type of thing that would be included, maybe not at that
probably
age
a stronger level what you're involved in.
Yeah, those kids right now, if they started doing what the kind of stuff that I do, they've already got a jump on it. I never wrestled in school because it was never offered where I went to school, and that's mm-hmm. that's sad. Mm-hmm. You know, Wayne High School should have a wrestling team.
Absolutely.
But they just don't, you know. So these kids in the Huntington areas, you know, they've definitely got a jump on all those kids out there.
You know,
it's fun. If it was offered, I don't know that I would have done it at the time because I loved all the, you know, football and baseball and all mm-hmm. that stuff, but you know, you never know. I may have excelled at it. I may not have.
So the mixed martial arts, actually, you're basically in a fight. You're combining all of those that we just talked about into a fight, right? So it's not like you're just going to be boxing at one point
mm-hmm.
and then kickboxing or wrestling at one. I mean, it's all of it at one time, right?
Yeah, and hopefully you're better than the other guy.
Yeah.
So you do, you alternate between all these different forms.
It could happen at any moment.
Yeah.
You know, I could throw a punch and then shoot for the guy's legs to take him down and hopefully, and then the process, finish him with a submission.
Oh, it's really mixed, all at one
session. All at once,
session.
Yeah.
Jamie, this sounds like some of the things that Gene does to me between commercial breaks some days. And I'm starting to relate to this. I'm going, oh, my goodness. I'm understanding what's going on.
Put your legs under that table. I have heavy boots on.
I know. Hey, Jamie, I want to take just a quick break if we could. And, we'll take a break here in just a little bit. But let's talk a little bit more about what you're doing with you're part of an organization there in Los Angeles or in California there. Tell me a little bit about what you do there.
I'm an instructor at Boss Rutten's Elite MMA. Boss Rutten is a ex-UFC heavyweight champion. He is one of the guys that really, I think, molded the sport back when he became champion in the UFC. Before that, I think he was a 7-time Pancration champion, which is a form of MMA. They just strikes to the head are only with an open hand. You can't close fist anybody, but to the body you can close fist. They can still kick, and they do submissions and things like that. So the guy was kind of a pioneer of the sport in a way, but he's went on to do movies now, and he does a show called Inside MMA that's on Axis TV, which used to be HDNet. If you're in the MMA world or even outside the MMA world, you even see him on Nickelodeon. This guy is just so charismatic that these people are just picking him up and putting him on TV because people want to see him. So,
you know, it's fascinating to me that I didn't really understand this at the beginning, that all these different martial arts are combined at one time. I mean, you never know what you or your opponent are going to be doing next, do you?
Exactly.
I guess that's what the tough part of it is like you said, I guess you just got to be better than the other guy, hopefully.
Question mark.
Yeah. When you're in one of these fights, is it something, I mean, what type of protection, I guess, are you wearing? Do you have head protection, gloves, and things like that? Or
the gloves are about a half-inch pad that covers your knuckles, and it's not so much for your opponent's protection, it's for your hand protection.
Okay.
Because back when it first started, they didn't wear gloves. they didn't tape their hands or anything, and they were breaking their hands, so they finally come out with the glove. So they're basically.
But it's not like a boxing glove, though. Not like a full boxing glove.
Basically, it's just like your hand, and there's no fingers to it. The end of the glove comes down to about your middle knuckle there, and that's it. And there's just about a half inch pad over top of it. You got a mouthpiece, and you've got groin protection. That's it.
Ooh. Wow, that could be tough. That could be tough. Tell me a little bit about some of the training that you do there in California. I guess you're trying to train other people that's coming through the gym there that want to learn the mixed martial arts art.
Right. Well, you know, in the MMA world and kind of where we live out there, we have to point our gym more in a fitness direction because MMA is intimidating to a lot of people.
Sure.
So we go in the fitness direction, and we pick up the guys that want to do MMA full-time. You know, I got my buddy over here in the studio with us this morning. You know, he's one.
Yeah,
we've
got a guest from Denmark this morning.
He's one of my training partners, you know, and he's in there with me every day. And we've got those guys that want to do that, and we train together. But as far as the gym goes, we actually try to go more in the fitness self-defense aspect. That way we don't scare people off, and it's intimidating to walk in one of those gyms because the first thing they think when they hear MMA is somebody's going to throw me on the ground, punch me in the face, and try to break my arm, you know. And that's not how it is, you know. We have classes if you want to do that, by all means, here we are, you know. But our other classes are all more towards you getting in shape and you learning, you know, some self-confidence, some self-defense. Mm-hmm.
And you're here for a special event.
I'm fighting Saturday night the National Guard Armory in Ashland, Kentucky. So,
great,
well, so this
great.
Is a hometown kind of event, really, for you.
It's homecoming for me. I've never fought anywhere within 3 hours of here before.
Oh, wow. Wow, so that is pretty special for you, then, really.
I may cry going down to the ring. You never know.
Yeah.
Well, you're very tall. You're very slim. And when I offered you some coffee before we came on the air, you said no, you had to lose 8 pounds before.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about that. We were talking about that before we went on the air, and let's talk about that.
It may not be the right thing to say, but we kind of refer to it as the Holocaust mode, you know? I mean, we're losing weight. We're doing it in a scientific way, not so much like starving yourself. Like today, I'm not going to have much at all, but...
But doesn't that make you feel weak the event?
Yeah, well, I'm weak right now, but as soon as I get off the scales tonight, I'll have an IV or two, so I'll be fine.
Yeah,
because that's the only way you're going to take it in. You can't use Pedialyte and stuff like that and get everything back in your body the way it should. So IVs are the most they're the fastest way to get the fluids back in your body and be ready to go. And I've been doing that probably my last 7-8 fights, and I feel like nothing ever happened.
Yeah. So you have to be a certain weight before you actually are able to fight, right?
Yeah. I got to be, the most I can be is 171 pounds tonight on the scale. The fight's tonight, to be honest.
Oh, it's tonight. Okay.
Well, I'm just being funny. The fight's tonight. You fight the scale tonight.
Okay.
Tomorrow night's fun.
You're fighting a human being.
Tomorrow night's fun. So.
Yeah. Tonight's the fight. I understand.
Today's the hard part.
Yeah.
When the fight's over tomorrow night, and you're free to eat, drink, anything that you want, do you have to ease into that slowly?
You know what? You should, but it usually doesn't happen like that. You know, as far as when I get off the scale tonight, easing into the food, you know, a lot of guys, they'll go, and I'm going to be funny again because I even think about it right now. Is they want to go to Bob Evans and have sausage, gravy, and biscuits, you know, because that's what I want.
Yeah.
You know? You know, after you get off the scale up into your fight, you need to eat like you have been eating. You know, I'm going to have baby food and berries right off the bat, and then I'm gonna, you know, ramp it up a little bit more and get back to chicken and sweet potatoes like that, and leafy greens, and you know, just up until the fight.
Do you stay on a pretty strict diet the time then?
Yeah, my diet has really changed since I moved out west. You know, it's when I come home, it's like so hard for me to eat unless I eat at home or I go down to the Japanese steakhouse, which I love to eat here in town, but any three or four of them that's here now, you know, but it's hard for me to eat because there's so much fast food around. I mean, it's like most of the stuff I'm eating now, unless I go out to eat out west, is organic, gluten-free. I eat some vegan stuff. You know, if it don't come off a tree or moo, cluck, or swim in a pond, you know, I don't eat it hardly. I haven't had a soda in over a year, and I used to go with 3 sodas a day probably before I moved out there. I don't use artificial sweeteners anymore, other than like honey or agave nectar. Mm-hmm. You know, it's weird. I've changed my diet a whole lot, but it's because
a healthy diet though. Even healthy, if you're not into MMA,
but I don't want to walk around at 200 plus pounds and cut to 170, 171 pounds. Mm-hmm. It's not fun. And mm-hmm. I've been 225 before and cut down, and it's not a pleasant experience.
You know, I think a lot listening, you know, me included, in our area here, Gene, you know, just a few years ago, we had Jamie Oliver here in town, you know, talking about Huntington, West Virginia being one of the most unhealthy, you know, cities.
Oh, yeah.
And then we had something I was involved with. There was a documentary that a group come from Ireland, that area, and they came and did a documentary after Jamie Oliver, and they were talking about the amount of fast food restaurants, something you mentioned, the amount of fast food restaurants in West Virginia, but in Huntington, West Virginia, and pizza places compared to other states.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it's unreal, and I think it's just part of our culture here, our life. We just see it, and we don't think anything about it.
I guess so, but on the other hand, I mean, these foods in themselves aren't necessarily bad. I think the amount that people eat, or
right.
whatever food they like. I mean, I like pizza, but I'm not going to eat a whole pizza.
No, exactly. Exactly. It's moderation.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. But, I love that word.
Moderation. Why don't you be the moderator?
I can do that.
You can do that too. But you know, I think you're right. You're bringing up something that's very important there, that probably in California, and it's probably more I'm not going to say fad, but I guess the style of things going on there is to be a healthier lifestyle.
Yeah, I mean, you've got everything out in Los Angeles as far as actors, models, you know, mm-hmm. athletes. You know, a lot of your professional athletes, they may play in New Jersey, but they live in Los Angeles, California, you know, through the year in certain parts. And,
right.
you know, those guys, they still got to stay on a diet. They can't
sure.
get out of shape.
Mm-hmm.
I actually train a few professional football players out there, and those guys stay just on as much as a healthy diet as I do, and they drink tons of water a day, you know, a gallon, 2 gallons of water a day, just like I do. I carry it around with me all day long.
Yeah.
Have you kept up with the various NFL players who graduated from Marshall, like Troy Brown and Chad Pennington?
I like to watch those guys play, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think, did Troy retire?
He retired, and he lives here in Huntington.
He lives here in Huntington,
That's great, you know. Mm-hmm. Chad, Randy Moss especially, I like seeing the hometown
still
boys
playing.
Play. Yeah, he's still playing. Who's he playing for now? The 49ers?
49ers, yeah.
It's great, you know. Now he's in another Super Bowl, so,
yeah.
you know.
Good for him, right?
Yeah,
you know,
good,
I mean,
good for him.
You know, it's something pretty cool. You know, we really have a lot of, you hate to say this, but claim to fame in the area here. You know, a lot of people that have done very well mm-hmm. went on from sports people to, we've had some actors in the area, and then
absolutely.
Singers, and then you know, you've got people like yourself, you know, that's doing something on this level, because this is pretty big, really, you know, what you're doing here.
Yeah.
You
oh,
know
it
and
is.
It's, and it's
it
something
is.
That a lot of people wouldn't, I don't think, I mean, even myself, Jamie, through our mutual friend Ryan Lee, when he started talking to me about what you did, and I was like, he just basically, you know, wears somebody out, you know. Tell me more about this. I got to understand how this works. But there is—it's kind of like a lot of other sports. I think people, you can watch it and go, "Oh my gosh, all they're doing is fighting." But really, there's a lot of skill. There's a lot of diet. There's a lot of preparation. There's a lot of things that go in to even before you can even put on a fight.
Yeah.
The fight's only 10% of what I do. You know,
preparation is a huge part.
Preparation is 90% of it. I mean,
wow.
it's definitely a mental game too, because today, when you're sitting in the sauna and you're trying to sweat it off and you're down to your last pound, maybe last 5-10 minutes that you're in the sauna or whatever you're doing to, you know, cut your weight, the whole time you're thinking, man, why am I doing this?
Yeah.
There's no reason for me to be doing this. This is stupid, you know. But, you know, once you step on a scale, your mind changes. Or
yeah.
once you've met your weight, your mind changes.
Is mixed martial arts, is that a relatively new sport?
You know what? I mean, I can say yes. But it's been going on for a long time. I mean, when I was in high school, you know, they were starting to have the first few ones that pretty much were lawless. They had no rules, you know, other than gouging people in the eyes and,
ouch.
You know, sticking a finger in their mouth and fish hooking them and things
ooh.
Like that. Those were the only things you weren't allowed to do, because you could actually strike the groin. You know,
ooh.
You could do things like that, pull hair. And
yeah.
But, you know, to keep it legal and to keep moving on, they added rules and they put gloves on, and they were
mm-hmm.
trying to make it look not so intimidating or scary or vicious, you know. Mm-hmm. So
it's being regulated since when? 80s, 90s?
Well, it's in some states it's still not legal. I think there's maybe four or five states left that it's not legal in, or that they just don't govern it, so you can still do it. And those are the dangerous states that let you still go ahead and have your shows, because that's when people get hurt, because they don't know what they're doing. And I've fought in a few of those states. But you know, places like California, I have to go through an extensive physical to fight. And if I go to Canada, I have to go through an extensive physical to fight. You know, and I'm not talking just blood work. I'm talking MRIs, EKGs, you know, full physical. I mean, it's...
They want to make sure you're in top shape for you.
They want to make sure you're ready for it, not, you know, trying to hide, you know, something.
So it sounds to me like you probably go through a lot of the same physical training that any professional boxer or anybody like that would go through. Oh, yeah. Same
testing. Maybe even more so.
Yeah, because it's so much more physical.
Right. Well, of course, you're appearing tomorrow night in Ashland in Kentucky. So obviously it's legal in Kentucky. Is one of West Virginia, is West Virginia one of the five states where it's illegal?
No, West Virginia just became legal probably close to a year ago.
Oh, okay.
But they are not MMA friendly. They don't want it here. The Boxing Commission does not want it here. They're not very friendly with it. They will tell you they don't like it. They were kind of forced to do it. So they're expensive. They will not legalize amateur, which is wrong. So a lot of money's leaving the state. These shows create money for the state, and these guys are kind of turning it away. And the insurance premiums for each fighter, for for the show, are ridiculous. They're more than a boxing bout.
Really?
There's no reason for that to be. And they set those premiums, how much you got to pay. So nobody wants to do a show here. Now, there are a few shows going on, but it's hard for those shows to really kind of make any money and move on in this state. So, you know, I blame it on the Athletic Commission. And I know the guys, and I know they don't like it. They will they'll flat out tell you right now they don't like it.
What could be done to how do you change that? How do we change that?
They need to set up a new governing body for just MMA, or to just take over, get these other guys out that are in the Boxing Commission right now, and instead of having a Boxing Commission, what they need is an Athletic Commission that commissions it all. You know, anything that comes in. If they're going to do WWE wrestling down here at the Big Sandy Superstore Arena, you know, they need to be over top of that too. Jiu-jitsu tournaments, wrestling tournaments outside of high school and stuff like that, they need to be over. Okay, you've got to contact us. You've got to go through us, this and that. There's money to, there's money for the state to be made doing this stuff.
Do you think sometimes, I see it a lot of times in leadership in a lot of different aspects of whether it's government, whether it's business, and whether it's, you know, what we're talking about here, sports, where some people just don't really understand it. They're in leadership, and it's easier to say no because we really don't understand this sport completely, can't really wrap our mind around it, or is it that you just hate it? Or is it a combination of both?
I tell you what.
Give some people a little bit of power and they get carried away.
Yeah.
A lot of boxing people are really biased to it because boxing is kind of, I don't want to say boxing is dead or dying, but in a long shot it is.
Not what it used to be.
The only boxing matches you see today are these big matches between, like, Pacquiao, Mayweather,
pay-per-views,
you know, these big names. And a lot of those guys train out where I live, in Oxnard, California. So, but boxing guys are usually pretty biased to MMA because it's kind of, you know, it's grown so much now that you don't see very much boxing, and here's all these MMA fights now on TV, and they don't like it.
That's amazing. So I'm just trying to think here. I mean, is there something that people need to? Is it something that with legislature that would have to get involved?
Okay.
So there's going to be some pressure put on those guys, Bill. And if there's an income to be made for the state of West Virginia, also, I mean, that's something that we'd have to look at from a tax perspective.
Missing out on a lot of income because you're looking at guys coming in from out of town, spending money at local restaurants. Local restaurants, hotels, you know, and what have you.
Jamie, we're going to take just a quick break right here, and we'll be right back. You're listening to Super Talk 94.1 FM and AM 930. And we are back to Planning for Tomorrow. Fred Kitchen along with you, and Gene Dean sitting right here in the studio. And If you've just joined us, I want to kind of give you a little bit of heads up here. This is not a typical Planning for Tomorrow radio show that you're probably used to hearing. And for those that have been with us and stayed right along with us, you know that it's not the kind of show that we're typically...
I think it's maybe only the second time we've ever got into any kind of sporting event.
It is, you know, but I think it's really interesting. I mean, you know, we talked briefly earlier, and I'll mention it again. You know, the way that Jamie Toney is our guest today, and he's a mixed martial arts fighter. He's originally from right here in Lavalette, the Huntington area here, and he has moved to Los Angeles, California, and is a professional fighter. And we had him on our show, and the reason that we kind of got connected before was there was a mutual friend that come from the same industry that I'm from, the funeral industry. And did you train Ryan, or are you still trying to train?
Yeah, I train Ryan when he comes back in the gym every once in a while. But
I'll get on him.
We have a lot of connections, you know, whether it be hillbilly music. And, you know, it's funny, but, you know, he used to play some music with some famous people, and he knew I was from back in West Virginia, and he had an ex-wife from back here. And,
right.
That was kind of one of our connections, and then it just, you know, he's a funny guy, and I like hanging out with him, and we just kind of went from there. So
we're talking about a mutual friend of ours, Ryan Lee, and he lives in Los Angeles, California also, and that's how Jamie and I really got introduced to each other, and then had him on our show last year, Gene.
Right.
And that's how we kind of got the martial arts, because you had a big deal coming up. Was that in Canada?
That was in Canada. That was for the Maximum Fighting Championship in Canada.
That's what I thought. That was a big deal, and we were trying to really focus. You know, I think it's important. I mean, the show is Planning for Tomorrow. We talk about a lot of planning issues and things like that. But I think it's important that we take time sometimes to focus on our hometown people. You know, I hate to sound like some kind of a television evangelist or anything. You know, but where it says the prophet has no honor in his own country. But you know, I mean, a lot of times when you do branch away, you're a local hometown person, and you branch away, sometimes you don't always get the credit you deserve. Mm-hmm. And I think it's good that we pay tribute, or not tribute, but we pay honor.
Actually, a lot of well-known, famous people from this area.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I think, you know, it's good that we take time to honor guys like you that have stepped out. It takes a lot of guts to do something like you've done. I mean, just to move away from home is a big deal.
Yeah, that's been an experience in its own.
Yeah.
Do you still have family here in West Virginia?
Yeah, my mom and dad live out on 8th Street where I grew up. I have two sisters that live here in town with their families. I have cousins and uncles and aunts and stuff that still live in the area. And then
I've got
some that live in Columbus, Ohio. So,
right.
So everybody's still here.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned Canada a few minutes ago. Is it less restrictive in Canada than it is in this country?
No, it's under the unified rules, which pretty much everybody fights under now, unless you're fighting in Asia or maybe Europe. But Europe pretty much goes with the unified rules, too. And then, you know, every state's different, or country's different on their medicals that you have to be able to fight. So.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Have you ever fought in Britain?
No. No. I would love to get out of the country more and fight, but I just haven't had the opportunity yet.
Where all have you had the opportunity to fight, in the United States and out of the country?
Boy, I fought in Canada. That's the only one out of the country I've been able to fight at. I almost got taken down to Mexico to fight, but for some reason that one didn't end up happening. It's probably a good thing.
Yeah, I'm not too sure about Mexico.
Yeah. But, you know... Ohio, Kentucky, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Georgia, Florida, Tennessee, Texas, California, and I think I'm missing one or two. Wyoming. So
these are all states in which it's approved.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're not going to mention any of the ones that's not approved that you've been at, right?
Right. Right.
Which happens to include West Virginia. I'll mention it.
Yeah. You know, and that's one of the things we were talking about before we went to a break, was how West Virginia, it is approved in West Virginia. However, it's not really endorsed.
Right.
I misunderstood.
Yeah.
So it is approved in West Virginia.
It's approved here, but the commission's not really MMA friendly, so... You know, so people just don't want to come here and do their shows. They'd rather go across the river and spend their money there.
Is there a pretty good following for this? I mean, we're talking a pretty good income base for our state.
You're looking at 2,700 people to 3,000 plus this weekend in the Armory, and that's going to be a lot of people. And the tickets, the only way you can get tickets now is through the fighters that have them in hand. I think they're sold out online.
Really?
And I'm thinking they're going to be sold out at the door.
Wow. Mm-hmm. And you think about that. I mean, of course, we have listeners in the Ashland, Kentucky area also, and you know, glad for them. But you think about that being sitting in downtown Huntington where we're sitting right now.
That's right.
You know, we'd like to have that income coming into to the revenue stream right here in Huntington or in West Virginia.
You know?
Mm-hmm. The commission that you mentioned, under whose auspices MAA works or doesn't, what's the name of that? Is it a boxing commission?
What I believe it's a boxing commission of West Virginia, and they have no business doing what they're doing. I mean, I was when they did one here in Huntington a little while back, I think it's last April, they did one here in Huntington, and I was sitting right at ringside, right behind the commission, and they were asking each other questions, and I'm like, you should already know the answer to that, and if you don't, then maybe I should come here and be the commissioner. So, because I've been doing this for a long time. I used to be a promoter in Ohio. I used to deal with the Ohio Athletic Commission. These people need to be educated, or they need to step down and say, hey, we need to hire somebody else to do this
that understands it.
And I would take that job. I could do that job from California. Yeah. It's not hard. Ohio does probably 8 to 10 shows, MMA shows, every weekend, from amateur to pro to pro-am. They do 8 to 10 all over the state. They've got people working all weekend, and I guarantee you they make no less in one weekend than $80,000.
How many years have you been doing it, Jamie?
11 years.
11 years. Yeah. Okay.
That's a lot of fighting.
That's a lot of fighting.
A lot of fighting. You know, I want to talk a little bit more about the you've got an event tomorrow night. Some of the fighters that's going to be there, let's talk about what type of fights he's going to be. I know we talked a little bit in break that it's going to be a mixed fight of, like, amateurs and professionals. Mm-hmm. Let's talk a little bit about that. What does that mean? I mean, there's going to be some people that are actually wanting to be a professional at some point.
Yeah, you know, when it comes to amateurs, I believe they're going through a good process. It's a learning process, and you, in my opinion, need to earn the opportunity to go pro. You shouldn't just go, well, I'm turning pro now. Now, if you're a pro boxer, do I think you should be turned in there with a debuting amateur fighter? Absolutely not. You know, you should be probably, you know, have a guy that's had a few MMA fights or possibly go pro, which I think a lot of them do. But these amateur fighters, they're all ready to fight and this and that, but some of them want to get paid right off the bat, and it's like, well, buddy, you don't really need to be in the ring with somebody that knows what they're doing, has been doing this for a long time. You need to start here, start at A and end at E, you know. Mm-hmm. So that's what it's there for today. It's a learning process. Their rules are a little bit different than ours. Their rounds are a little bit different than ours, and that's to keep them safe, you know. So,
but an amateur will not be fighting a professional.
No, absolutely not.
Okay.
That probably wouldn't be smart. I mean, really? I mean,
no, absolutely not. But now, does an amateur have to go through the same sort of checks and balances that you professionals
do? They have started blood testing the amateurs. They didn't used to, which is a good thing that they're blood testing these guys, because a lot of them are your fly-by-night. Like, they just think all of a sudden, oh, I can do it, you know. Mm-hmm. And some of them just train out of their garage, which is, those are the dangerous guys. You don't know where this guy's been, you know. Mm-hmm. But so that now they're blood testing the amateurs, which is a great thing.
Are they doing that for drugs and things like that?
No, they're doing them for HIV, Hep B, Hep C, because that's really the only three things that they check for.
Okay.
So.
Okay. Mm. Hey, Gene, let's take just another quick break right here. You're listening to Planning for Tomorrow on Super Talk 94.1 FM and AM 930. And we are back to Planning for Tomorrow. Fred Kitchen in the studio and Gene Dean sitting here. Gene, I want to take just another quick minute here and mention our website again, because there is some that's listening that's going, this is a completely different direction for Planning for Tomorrow or viewpoint, either one. You know,
right.
It's a different
direction. I don't often get into sports.
Yeah, but you know, I want to make mention about the PFTRadio.com website. Be sure and check that out. We'll have we are going to have Jamie's bio and things like that up on the site, and information about what he's involved with tomorrow night. We'd have Jamie Tony in the studio with us, and been learning a lot about mixed martial arts. And, Gene, I think you had something that...
Well, yes, you said something in the break there, Jamie, that really piqued my interest, because I'm always in favor of a woman doing something that has historically been a man's thing to do. Do women actually get involved in mixed martial arts?
Yeah, there's a lot of women in mixed martial arts today.
Really?
And, you know, there's a couple different women that are significantly stand out right now. Ronda Rousey, she's actually getting ready to fight in the UFC after Dana White, which owns the UFC, said
there. What is UFC?
UFC's Ultimate Fighting Championship, and it is the big show that everybody is trying to get to. You know, that's where the money's at.
That's the Olympics.
That is the Olympics of MMA, you know. So Ronda Rousey has signed a contract with the UFC. She'll be fighting for the women's 135-pound championship in the UFC here real soon. And Ronda is an Olympic medalist from the United States. And I've had the pleasure to train with her and hang out with her a little bit. And that girl is a beast. I mean, she is. And, hey, and I tell you what, she's a pretty girl, too. She's a real pretty girl. But
I heard women called other things beginning with B, but that wasn't one of them.
Well, you know, it does make me a little nervous that Gene has interest in MMA fighting. But like
I'm
I said,
right
on
weight.
Some of our breaks, you know, I really.
I'm the right weight.
That's right.
It.
And we'll call her Gene Dean, the beast.
Yeah. You know? You know, some of these athletic commissions out there now are ran by women. And, you know, the one in Kentucky here, there's going to be a lady coming down, and she runs the show. And you know what? She's very she's a very pleasant person to work with. You call her on the phone, and she don't give you any attitude.
She doesn't fight.
She doesn't fight, yeah. But she'll tell you to go have a seat, you know, if you're acting up. I've seen her do it. You know, I've been one of her referees
now
before.
That's what I could do,
yeah,
Fred.
There you go. There you go. You know, Jamie, let's talk a little bit more. We were talking about this before we went to break, but about the amateur and the professional. How do you really become a professional? I mean, I know it's years of training and things like that, but how are you, I guess, from the Ultimate Fighting Championship, how are you recognized, I guess, as a professional? I mean, you can't call yourself a professional and go out and lose fights,
right.
I'm sure.
Well, right now you're seeing some guys go in there and they're 5-0, 5-1. Then you've got guys that come in there that have a long, extensive record, but they've beaten these top guys that that the UFC's been looking at, or that used to fight in the UFC that got out and they've been, when I say finish, they've tapped them out, they've knocked them out, however they had to finish them. And the UFC, that's the kind of guys that they want to see, so they offer them a contract and pull them in. But as far as the amateurs goes, different states are different as far as those guys turning professional. And, you know, Ohio, you know, you've got to be in the winning category, and you've got to have at least 3 fights before you can turn professional in Ohio or have your first professional fight in Ohio. So, you know, that's a good thing. It keeps the guy safe. It's not some guy that's upside down on his wins and losses and goes, I'm going to go pro, you know, just so I can get paid because I need to pay for my car or whatever, you know. And that's why a lot of guys think about it. It's like, well, I'll just go fight every other weekend. I don't care if I get beat or not, you know. Well, so
to get
for a payday.
For a payday, yeah.
Payday. And I know people. Like
do most of the fighters, do you use agents to get your fight set up?
And that's kind of a gray area, too. There's guys out there now that are getting into the UFC and the bigger shows, Bellator, things like that, that have hired sports agents. But those guys take so much money.
I bet.
You know, they get so much of your sponsors. They get so much of your fight purse. And then it's like,
so you end up doing all this work and sharing it with somebody that's...
Right. Yeah. And, you know, some of them do that. Some of them don't take as much. But, you know, there's still some good people out there. But if you're not with a sports agent now, it's really hard. It's really hard.
Are you with one?
No, I'm not.
Okay. Does that mean you've got to set up all your own appearances?
I set up a lot of them. And then some other shows, I let one of my trainers take care of it. So...
You've got somebody that kind of helps you with it.
He helps me, yeah.
This is not the first time that you've appeared in Ashland, is it?
This is the first time I've ever done MMA in Ashland or within 3 hours of Huntington.
Really?
Yeah, so it's exciting.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about where that's going to be at, Gene. I mean, tell us a little bit about that. Tomorrow night.
It's going to be in Ashland, the National Guard Armory. It starts at 8 o'clock. Doors open at 6:30. It's going to be a great show. There's going to be a lot of people there. It's going to be loud. I expect it to be loud. The best thing about it, though, and I've been to all sorts of MMA shows, is there's not going to be any alcohol. So, you know, you can... I hate to say family event, but you can bring your kids there and stuff like that. So it depends on what kind of parents you are. As long as you educate your kids, you know, I think they'll be fine.
But some of the shows then that you appear in, they do allow alcohol.
Oh, they allow alcohol, and then people get a little rowdy, you know.
Yeah,
so, you know, I've been to... numerous tough men here in Huntington, tough men contest at the Civic Center, and it's fights in the crowd. It's, you know, security coming, taking people out, and I don't want to see that. And if you could take your kids somewhere, they don't need to see that, you know. But, you know, you go to Canada, the Canadian fans can handle their alcohol for some reason. I don't get that.
It's like Pepsi to them. Or
I don't understand it. They're hockey fans. They love to watch fighting.
Did you ever see the hockey team that we had here years
ago? Oh, yeah. I used to love to go watch the Blizzard play. Uh-huh. I wish they'd bring another hockey team back here.
They've talked about it.
I get to watch Kings. At least I was living in L.A. when they won the Stanley Cup.
That's cool. Anything that you can think of that we need to kind of mention to listeners? I think we've covered a whole bunch of different things.
We have.
You know, we've talked about the legalization of these events in states and how West Virginia it is legal for these type of fighting, but you know we may not be you're probably not getting the support you really need to put these events on. You know, it's something that from a legislative standpoint that maybe need to be looked at, Gene, from standpoint of, you know, what type of financial impact could this have?
Well, why are we depriving ourselves of financially?
Yeah, you know, we talk about taxes and having to raise taxes in counties and cities and all these different fees that we have to worry about. You know, I mean, even from a state level, is there things that we could be doing as far as events that maybe we're turning our nose up to just a little bit? And I don't know. I know very little other than knowing Jamie now. I know very little about mixed martial arts, but I do know a little bit about revenue. And I know without it can make a town or a city or a state struggle. So,
Jamie, before you can have an event in West Virginia, does the commission, the boxing commission, have to give you a permit to do so?
Yeah, you've got to call the athletic commission of that state, and you've got to talk to them, and you've got to pull a permit from them. Then they pretty much regulate your show. They tell you, you tell them where you want to do it, when you want to do it. And they say, okay, well, you've got to pay for this by the insurance bond that, you know, tells us that you're going to pay your fighters and all this. And, you know, so it's set up, but, you know, it's...
What sort of opposition do you get here in West Virginia from the commission?
They just, you know, all their, you know, permits or insurance bonds and things like that are so high.
Oh.
They just try to discourage it, and it's different than buying a boxing one. So they can do boxing ones.
Okay, so they really want to promote boxing more than MMA.
Right.
Okay. So the boxing's more attainable from a financial standpoint for promoters and things like that.
Exactly. But MMA is what everybody wants to see now. They want to see two guys go in there with the small gloves on and duke it out or go to the ground because it's more, I hate to say it, it's like a legalized street fight with rules.
Okay.
The MMA is in a way, because it could be standing up, it could be on the ground, it could be against the cage or the ropes, depending if you're fighting in a cage or a boxing ring. You know, it's anything can happen.
Yeah,
you know?
Obviously, I've never seen MMA because I don't understand what you mean when you say cage. Yeah.
Well, we fight in a cage.
So it's like, is this like a fenced in room?
It's a fenced in room with no ceiling on it. It's just you know, depending on if it's an octagon or a pentagon or whatever, somebody, or even a circle. I've seen circle cages before.
What's
seen square ones.
What's the cage made from?
Chain link fence, basically, and steel.
I guess it protects the crowd too. It keeps you from coming out.
I've seen some cages about, you know, some big boys almost went through the side of it. So.
And is this cage, is it set up on like a boxing ring?
Basically, the floor is kind of made up of the same structure, and it, you know, is elevated off the ground so the crowd can see it.
Oh, okay. And we mentioned earlier that we do have a gentleman from Denmark here, and he has just handed us on his iPhone.
Yeah.
Looks like an octagonal or
a
something
cage.
Like that.
Yeah.
I see what it's like.
Yeah. So it is kind of elevated there, but it is caged. I guess, like you said, so it would protect the crowd out and, you know, keep everything kind of confined.
Well, it keeps
us
from falling through the ropes, because that's almost happened to me a few times, you know. So,
really?
Yeah. Yeah. I've been up in Canada, fought in a boxing ring, and I like the boxing ring. There's nothing. I can fight in either one of them. It doesn't matter to me.
Is there much television coverage of MMA?
Yeah, there's a lot now. You know, HDNet, which is now Access TV, is they do Friday night fights, and they've got a different show on there from around, you know, the United States and Canada or even Europe, you know, on that show every Friday. They've even got Inside MMA, which one of my coaches, Boss Rutan, he's one of the hosts, and they pretty much talk about all the MMA events that's been going on that weekend and things that are in the news and things like that. So it's getting a lot of TV coverage now.
Well, fortunately, it's going to get some coverage here in this area
absolutely,
tomorrow night.
Absolutely, get some coverage, and let's, you know, you've got to be glad to be home and see some family.
Yeah, I'm really excited to be home. I don't get to spend the time with them like I'd like to, but I'm hoping I can push my flight back a few more days and stay here after the fight and really get to spend some time
Do
with
your
them.
Family members come and watch you fight?
Everybody will come but my parents and mom.
That's kind of how it is.
Yeah, my mom kind of asked me, she's like, do you want me to go? And I said, you know, Mom, you haven't come to one yet. I said, I'd rather you not be there.
I'm
so.
With your mom. If my son were fighting, I wouldn't be there.
She said, well, your dad's not going to go anyways, but, you know.
I think it's a parent thing. I mean, I think it's just kind of one of those that you definitely don't want to see your kids fight, you know, especially in school, you know, you're growing up, and that was one of the things you hated to hear about. Well, I was in a fight today, you know, it upset you. You want to protect your kids, and I'm sure that's exactly what they're thinking. You know?
I think my boys knew what to do. Go in the opposite direction.
Yeah, just run. Yeah, run and hide behind the tree. But, well, today our guest has been Jamie Toney, and Jamie now lives in Los Angeles, California, and he's from right here in the Huntington area, the Lavalette area. And, Jamie, it's been just been a pleasure to have you along on the show today.
Thank you.
Yeah,
appreciate
you
being our guest. And I think, if nothing else, you've given us a little bit of insight to mixed martial arts, and we wish you all the best tomorrow night.
Thank you. Thank you. It's going to be a tough fight. It's going to be an exciting fight.
National Armory in Ashland at 8 o'clock tomorrow night. Yeah. And if you want a ticket, you better get there early.
Yeah, or get a hold of me.
Okay.
Again, we're proud of you. Huntington, West Virginia is proud of you. And I wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Gene, good to meet you.
You're not going to sign up for mixed martial arts, are you?
I want to be that moderator person.
Okay. You could be the moderator. Well, you've been listening to Planning for Tomorrow, and I tell you, we've taken a little bit different direction today, but I think it's been a good direction.
I think listeners have probably enjoyed it.
I hope so. Be sure and check out the pftradio.com website. We also want to make mention about the Resource Center there at Henson Mortuary, where we have the Five Wishes documents, as well as a ton of other documents available for you. Those are free of charge. We'll see you next time. You're listening to Super Talk 94.1 FM and AM 930.
Super Talk 94.1 FM and AM 930. WRVC Huntington, a Kindred Communications station celebrating 20 years of local broadcasting.